RIFT Research and Development. Tax rewards for innovative small businesses. RIFTResearch.com.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Want more business? Make it happen by joining supplymybusiness.co.uk and start generating more business today for your Kent business.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on Channel Radio and Kent Business Radio on this January the 3rd, 2017.
Do you know, oh, that's George Michael, by the way, Careless Whisper. Yeah. Lovely, lovely song and sad loss. Some people are saying 2016 was such a horrible year for losing greats like Bowie. And
For celebrities of a certain age, it wasn't the best year. A lot of people are going it was the worst year ever, but I think that's a bit over the top, to be honest. I think 1916 was a bit worse than 2016, to be quite frank, because we lost a million people in the First World War. Yeah. But for celebrities, it wasn't too hot. But then it's going to be like that for the next few years, for the simple reason that these people are reaching an age where it's going to happen more and more.
Well, I know. You're over 60 now, let's face it.
I am well over 60. You're quite right.
I've just had a very...
And I'm feeling peaky.
Yeah, are you? Well, that's because you stay in bed eating mince pies and don't change your sheets.
Yeah.
I've had a very strange tweet on my timeline, which is, why is a wealthier, right, Carl, who you say I must meet and have met, he's saying, Happy New Year, hope the bottom is all better. Now, I believe he's talking to Lisa Marie Settle.
Yes.
I am hoping that he's alluding to the cycle ride that she did.
Yes, Lisa was on just before Christmas talking about the damage done to her bottom in Southeast Asia.
Okay, I was just hoping that was it, because, you know, David might be listening, you never know, her husband. Because it sounded a bit personal, didn't it?
Oh, you obviously never heard the show.
No, I was in Cape Town.
I got much more personal than that.
Did it?
It did indeed.
She didn't have to show it, did she?
I'm saying no more.
Listen.
You'll have to go back and listen again,
I'm
afraid.
Listen back.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it was December, yeah?
It was. It was the second show in December.
Go on.
There's an accountancy and tax clinic being held at Fruitworks. This is entirely free, and you can just rock up. You don't have to book. You can just rock up. And Mark Telford, who's an accountant from Telford Associates, the chartered accountants, will be holding an accountancy and tax clinic at the workshop in Fruitworks. The clinic is designed to answer accountancy and tax queries for individuals and small businesses. And he's going to look at things like, should I be operating as a sole trader or a limited company? What's the most tax-efficient way to pay myself? Do I need to, and how should I register for VAT? What's the best accounting software for my business? Do I need a PAYE scheme? Does my business need a workplace pension? There's no need to book. It doesn't matter what you want to ask him. You can ask him whatever you want to ask him. Just pop along and see Mark on the day. And that is happening on the 18th of January between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. at Fruitworks, which is 77 Stour Street in Canterbury.
And not a lentil in sight there anymore.
No, it's a lentil-free zone now.
Exactly. I used to enjoy a lentil there.
At the moment, we're building the toilets.
All right.
And the coffee shop.
Because there was a restaurant upstairs, which I got quite excited about because I thought I could fill that.
No, the restaurant's gone.
And you took it out?
Restaurant's gone. It's now Hot Desk Community Workspace, and that's fully up and functional.
Fabulous.
Jamie rebuilt that all on his little lonesome.
Yeah. Bless him. Well, he had a little help from his new wife, I think.
Oh, Jamie and Sophia, they come as a team.
She did quite a lot, didn't she?
Jamie did most of the big work, but Sophia did the design and the ordering about.
She probably supervised.
And she supervised,
Women do that very well.
She's very good at that. They did a brilliant job on it, and Jamie's almost completed downstairs now.
Well done, Jamie. Mm. That's brilliant. Mm. Married life suiting him, obviously. Now, women work. I was reading this earlier on, but we found George Michael, so on record, I must say. Friday the 10th of March, the Assembly Hall in Tunbridge Wells. The Assembly Hall Theatre. It's a full day of inspiration for women and the men who support them all over Kent. It'll take place at the Assembly Hall, as I said, on the 10th of March. The afternoon
event... Where is it, Jules?
At the Assembly Hall in Tunbridge Wells. So the afternoon event is completely free. We do love a free event. It's full of brilliant networking opportunities and workshops for women, mothers and daughters from every walk of life, giving you the opportunity to be bold, be you and be heard. Tickets for the evening are £5, with all proceeds to be donated to the Pickering Cancer Drop-In Centre, showcasing inspiring stories from the front line of life. Get your evening ticket below. So you can go to assemblyhalltheatre.co.uk, /women-work. They are on facebook.com/womenworkevents. And on Twitter, they are womenworkevents on twitter.com. That looks a bit long for Twitter, womenworkevents, but we'll track that down and we will put all details on kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Cool.
We've had a tweet from Manjit Sohal. And she says, "Would love a shout out on the Business Bunker, please, for Sohal Light Photography. Headshots and telling your business story in photographs. Thank you."
Well,
it's
you know,
an absolute pleasure, Manjit.
Do you know, Paul Andrews, she worked miracles on my... You've seen my cover photo.
Yes, she made you look human and everything.
BBC. Not just that, yeah. Because it was a torrential rain I was in, yeah. And I'd had a blow dry because she was coming especially to take I'm not falling for all your little tricks, to take a photo of me at the BBC. Mm. Did I tell you I was on the BBC?
Were you?
Did I tell
really?
You I did the Christmas special, Scoff and Quaff with Jules Serkin.
It was a superb photograph that Manjit took, though, wasn't it?
Not just that. Mm. She had a minute to do it, and I arrived like a drowned rat. I'd been the only parking pre-Christmas, listener, was on the top floor of the multi-story. Of course, I've got Ringo in Canterbury, haven't I? You know, to of course, there in Tunbridge Wells, there's not Ringo. There's some other parking thing.
Yeah.
So I was standing, and because I've got a new car, as you know, I don't actually know the number plate. It's KW something, 64 something. So I was standing, running in the pouring rain with my lovely new blow-dried hair, going to find the number of the car park where the machine where it says, you know, you're in, I don't know, 4567. Then I had to run back to my car to punch in the number plate. Then I had to...
I'm losing the will to live here. I'm sorry I asked.
I couldn't hold my great big golfing umbrella.
So it was a pain, and she took the most wonderful photograph of you.
I was 20 minutes trying to plug in my thing. And then just when I'd done it all and done my new credit card and everything else, because it's not Ringo and doesn't know, still not able to hold my umbrella because I had a bag and I had my scripts and I had everything else, and running back and forth, soaked like a drowned rat, swearing by now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, mascara running down your cheeks.
Get on with it.
Then I put everything away in my handbag, conscientiously, and then it said, "Give us the last three digits of your credit card." But it hadn't asked me for that when I had my credit card out. So I had to get it all out again, Dan.
Remind me
like
not to ask her about photographs ever again.
Anyway, Manjit, who was there on time, I scuttled in late with my hair dripping. She took one look at my hair and said, "What are you going to do about your hair?" I said, "There's nothing I can do. I've got to go." And
that's why I don't have my photo taken, you know.
Because your hair.
I can never get my hair right.
It's your parting. Mm. So she was amazing because she took this picture of a drowned rat. I was freezing. She'll tell you my hands were freezing. And she had 1 second because we were on air. And so thank you, Manjit, for making me, you know, presentable. As Denise said, demure. And I've never looked demure, have I, Paul?
No, it was a fabulous photograph. She's and she brilliant. Is an absolutely brilliant photographer. Absolutely brilliant.
I'm going to use her again.
Yeah. I'm going to get her to work on me, I think, to make me look presentable.
Might need a bit more than a minute.
I think she probably would, yeah. Cool. Do you know what? I think we're going to talk to our next guest now.
I bought the
pants off you. Now we've got a pause in which we can introduce them, although the show's nearly finished now. Because of your story about parking meters. I know. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome back for one of them and for the first time for another, two gentlemen, Dan Eales and Peter Gibbons from Sky Raiders.
Yep.
That's right, yeah.
Welcome, chaps. Welcome. Been sitting there patiently. So, Dan, you've been on before in a previous life. In fact, you have been on for Sky Raiders as well, I think, when you first joined, didn't you?
Came on twice before Vortech.
Yeah.
And this will be the third time with Sky Raiders.
Right, okay, cool. So why don't you chaps tell us a little bit about Sky Raiders?
So we're a pest control company which specialises in controlling birds of prey, controlling birds. We use birds of prey for what we do.
Okay. Let's set the parameters around this. So you're using birds of prey to control pesty birds.
Pest species such as seagulls or pigeons.
Yeah, pigeons is one of our biggest.
I've got a terrible problem with pigeons my next door neighbour feeds them. And I'm not. Close your ears if you love birds, but they just poo over everything.
Yeah, that's the worst.
So
worst
would
part
you bring
pigeons.
Your little eagle round?
Yeah, we could bring trained hawks round and to push them on.
But then, wouldn't I have to have a hawk forever? Because they'll just come back.
You'd have to have a hawk on a regular basis if it's a feeding site. If the birds are coming in to feed, then you'd have to, we'd have to come around regularly with a hawk just to keep them off site.
Like Billy Dean.
Watch it, Pete. She's looking at you, and you know if she mentions wardrobe, run. Okay, just run. Just don't think about it. Just get your glove, get your hawk, and clatter off. I want to step through this.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, which types of birds, if there's not too many, are classified as pests?
Well, the three groups that we work with are seagulls.
Mm. They're a nuisance, aren't they?
They are seagulls. A nuisance.
They're a real nuisance.
And to be more specific, it's lesser blackbacks and herring gulls,
right.
Which are the ones we normally deal with, the ones you find down in the south coast. Mm. Feral pigeons is a huge problem in industrial warehousing and things like that. And the other species of bird can be wood pigeon, on crops, they can be quite damaging to crops.
Wood
pigeon.
Are they the ones that go woo-hoo, woo-hoo, or is that the one that's in my house?
They all tend to make that kind of noise.
He's lucky he didn't have his hawk with him. You'd be pinned to the floor by now.
Pigeons, starlings, we've been asked to do blackbirds, are getting inside tomato greenhouses, all sorts, really. We can deal with any flying pest or pest bird.
Okay.
If it's deemed to be a pest.
And would you ever, I'm just thinking now for waste not, want not, would you ever have these pigeons and then give them to a gamekeeper for pigeon pie?
I've never given pigeons to a gamekeeper. No, I normally tend to keep them for if it's wood pigeon, I'll keep them for my birds.
Right.
If they do able to catch the pigeons, which is quite a task for the birds. Mm. It's normally scarecrow tactics we use with the birds, just the sheer presence of them.
Well, I was going to ask how it kind of works, whether, you know, they rip their throats out or...
No. It's mainly just the presence of the bird being in the vicinity of where the pest species are being a problem.
Right.
We turn up, we fly our birds for help, however long it takes, and that normally pushes the birds on quite quickly. They don't want to be in the same vicinity as something that could potentially catch them or potentially eat them.
Right.
On the odd occasion, you know... they will get unlucky and one of my birds will get lucky and I will let them feed upon it as a reward. You have to reward these animals for doing it.
Yeah.
But it's natural. It's natural. I'll try to use birds that are natural to that quarry. So it's a much more natural way rather than going out and
poisoning them
and trapping them and stuff like that.
Okay. So tell us about your birds.
We have... 16 species of birds.
Sorry, did you say 16?
God, that's
16
huge.
Species of birds. It varies. They're mainly hawks and falcons, is what we normally use. Various different sizes. We do have some owls that we use for nocturnal work, for night visits. We use eagle owls generally for that. But majority of the work's done by hawks and falcons. And it can range. We'll use falcons such as merlins, which are tiny, tiny little birds. Mm. All the way up to large red tails or ferruginous hawks for some of the larger pest species like gulls. And each bird, different species of bird that we use, is useful in different environments that we use them in. So if we're working indoors in a large warehouse, then we'll use a bird that's designed to maneuver in and around obstacles. Right. If we're working in large open spaces, we need a lot of ground to be covered, so we'll use falcons that will gain the height and gain the distance they need to be able to push birds away from damaging crops and whatnot. Mm. So we've got, yes, about 16 different species and mainly hawks and falcons because they're the ones that really send the fear factor home to the pest species. Mm. We do use eagle owls sometimes at night, certainly around nesting sites of seagulls. Mm. Just the sheer presence of the bird in that area can push them on. There's a lot. I can't remember the exact number of birds. It went up over Christmas because we purchased some more. So
it's somewhere around
26 different species of birds. And it's just me and Dan that man and train the birds. And
right.
So how long does it take to train your average bird?
It depends on the intelligence of the individual bird, to be honest. Harris hawks are generally I consider them as one of the most intelligent of the raptors. And it can take me about 2 months to get a bird up in the air and flying.
What did you call it? A raptor?
A raptor. So birds of prey are raptors. Not like the ones from Jurassic Park.
But evolutionarily, apparently they are.
They are very closely related to dinosaurs and reptiles. Yeah. It would take me about 2 months, two to sometimes more, depending on the species of bird that I'm flying or working with. Sometimes less. It depends on how the bird picks up training. Mm. It all depends on the individual bird. But average is about two months. And to get them really physically fit as well, I like to get them nice and fit and healthy, because they got to do most of the work. They got to be flying around, chasing these pest species around and pushing them off site. So
I'm fascinated by seagulls, because they're horrible animals, seagulls. Having lived down on the coast, where they are a real problem, mm-hmm. And where you find seagulls now attacking people's food. I used to have a home in Cornwall, and in Padstow, there's signs up everywhere that says, don't feed the seagulls, but people do. Mm-hmm. And since they do it, you walk out of a chip shop, and a seagull will land in your hand and take your chips. And they're big birds as well.
Oh, yeah, they're very intelligent birds. They're up there with dolphins and crows and any of the corvid family for their intelligence. They're really, really, really clever. We rescued one once, and we reared it up from a chick. And we had it playing fetch. We had it problem-solving, puzzle-solving.
Doing a crossword.
It's just simple things. But we had it doing all sorts of things until one day it decided to fly off and join its own kind again.
Right.
It was really, really remarkable.
And you called him Cliff.
So with treating seagulls as a pest, how do you do that?
Well, you can't injure or kill seagulls. They're fully protected. All birds are fully protected by law. Yeah. So you have to do everything within your power to scare them off, if feasible and possible. Mm. I've lost my train of thought now. Sorry.
So first of all, if you've got a seagull infestation, if I run a chip shop on the coast and my customers are getting bombarded by
herring gulls. If they're nesting on your roof, if they're preparing to rear young, then we would have to come over, assess the situation, assess the size of the colony and how many nests that potentially will occur on your premises. And then through many, many visits, it can take up to two months to really stop them from producing young. Because once they have young, you can't tamper with their nest. Mm. You can't injure them. You can't kill them. You can't remove them. Mm. You have to leave them. Once they have their babies hatched, that's done for the season.
Pete, do they get aggressive when they've got...
The parents are extremely aggressive. So getting protective. Up on the roof, certainly in the day, can be quite hazardous to my health, as well as the birds as well. So we do regular visits. Every day we'll be there for about an hour.
What kind of raptor or bird do you use to scare?
I normally bring a collection of birds to a seagull issue. It will range from Jer falcon, which is the largest falcon, some of the hybrids, the Jer sakers, the Jer peregrines, which are hybrid birds designed for their speed or their size. Mm. I'll bring red-tail hawks because they're huge brute type birds. They can handle a beating. Yeah. So if we do get bombarded by seagulls, then they can handle it. Mm. I tend to steer away from bringing some of the smaller birds. Obviously, they will get hurt and injured. So we would turn up on regular different time intervals, build up a association that we're here with our birds every day, causing them grief, upset. They will defend their territory quite aggressively. Right. And then what I'll do is I'll turn their world upside down and I'll start doing my visits at night. Seagulls, they can handle birds of prey in the day, during daylight hours. Mm. They're designed to do so. They'll gang up, they'll mob whatever bird I bring. Mm. But at night time, they don't have the depth perception to dive bomb. Right. Their eyesight is terrible at night. So when I turn up, after a few visits done during the day, if I turn up at night with an owl, or I turn up with a red tail or a Harris hawk or whatever, they don't know how to deal with the problem. Right. They're not used to predators at night, certainly diurnal predators at night. And it really messes with their with their minds, and they scramble for the hills.
Psychological warfare. I like it.
Very much psychological warfare. And sometimes I will turn up without the bird.
Right.
And they will be thinking...
And make bird noise. You take George with you and she makes woo noises.
Not quite. That's Dan's job. But sometimes I turn up without a bird and just sheer psychological warfare, I suppose. They don't know where my little friend is. And that causes more fear.
But they recognise you.
But they recognise me.
Certainly, being associated
I can't go shopping at Tesco's with my wife anymore without getting bombarded by seagulls because they can differentiate different faces. Wow. And stuff like that. Sometimes I'll have to come on site with a mask and really send the fear factor home.
Balaclava.
Yeah, they do recognise me. I just not long ago we popped into Tesco's for some lunch and all the seagulls came off the roof and were swooping me and I was like, this is typical. No one else in the car park, just me. So yeah, they do recognise different people. They do recognise cars as well. When we turn up on our vehicles, they know we're on site. They start calling to one another. They get up in the sky and they start. He's back with his little friends. Yeah.
That was my gull impersonation.
Yeah. Was it?
It's very, very good.
Yeah. Do you use other methods apart from birds? So do you use, that I've heard those high frequency sound things, and then some people put little things on the gutters. Do you use anything else?
Yeah, we do. We do use preventative measures for them to come back. So we do use spikes. We do use sounders.
And the spikes are allowed, are they?
The spikes are allowed. I don't rate them as highly as I do the birds. The birds really, I mean, nothing beats the real thing. I don't rate them as highly as that. They do serve a purpose. Some of the pigeons roost on certain ledges, so they do work in those areas. But you can't cover an entire roof in spikes. It's just not financially possible or feasible.
Even athletically.
It's
a shame.
It's difficult. The nets are okay in certain areas, but to cover an entire roof in a net is a task. Nets eventually get holes in them, and birds find themselves
trapped inside the net.
That's
horrible.
And they end up starving and dying. So I really try and steer my clients away from nets and spikes, and go for the real thing. It really works.
Is the gull population, boys, lads? Is it growing or is it diminishing because of habitat?
It's diminishing,
habitat?
But it doesn't feel like it down here.
No,
we have quite a stronghold down here for herring gulls and lesser blackbacks. All over the country, it's actually diminishing. Some people think that the seagulls are actually coming inland more rather than staying on the coastal because there's more shelter, there's more food opportunities inland than there is on the coast. But there's quite a lot of theories bouncing around. No one actually really knows why the seagulls are diminishing. They are one of the most hated birds in the UK, though.
But, it's funny because I do a lot of work for hotels, and there's a hotel I went to, Seafront, and he said that a lot of his guests complain about the seagull noise, and I think, you're on the seafront, you expect seagull noise, don't book into a seafront hotel and then moan because the seagulls.
I think some of it you just have to, you have to live with.
I kind of quite like that sound. I don't want them pooing in my garden, mainly it's pigeons with me, but I kind of like the sound of seagulls, but you don't want them nicking food, but that's human behaviour that's caused it.
Human behaviour that's caused it. Most of our clients are clients that are either working with food, so for health
hygiene.
And safety, hygiene reasons, they don't want the birds coming inside and defecating over their food. Or work at workstations where people are working heavily, i.e. pigeons. We did a lot of work for South Eastern Railway. And inside the workshops where the guys were working with all their tools over the benches, the pigeons were just defecating constantly every day, all day, because they were coming into roost at night in their hundreds. So that it was a real problem there. So for health and safety reasons as well.
You need to go out to Cape Town. We were out in the bush and eating breakfast as you do. The rooms are all external rooms with like a roof. We had breakfast every morning and the sparrows were all just coming in and they'd cling filmed the butter and everything. But they were just going through the butter and everything. And I thought it was quite cute at the beginning. Then I thought actually probably not very hygienic at all. There's nothing they could do. They need you.
I was actually in Cape Town just not long ago. I got married in Africa.
Did
about
you?
2 months ago, didn't I?
Whereabouts?
I got married in Ulasaba, Richard Branson's game reserve. We was 2 days there, and then we went to Kapama private game reserve for 2 days, and then we flew down to Cape Town for 6 days.
And let's have a mention for your partner.
Claire Orwood Gibbons.
Cool.
Congratulations.
But, talking about animals nicking food at breakfast, I was in Botswana at Chobe National Park having breakfast, and we got our breakfast stolen by a warthog.
A warthog? Oh, wow.
A warthog, yeah.
Yeah, I can't deal with those.
They're not scared of much.
Well, yeah. The monkeys in India, we were in India in January, and the monkeys, where people are fed them, they come and they nick people's handbags, car keys. Yeah. They're quite pesty.
Well, we got warned by the baboons breaking into our where we were staying and raiding the minibar and getting drunk and then threw you up for your luggage. Yeah.
She does that as well.
Yeah.
I think it's a really interesting job, this, and I think you'll have to come around for these pigeons because I've been in the house 6 years and it's definitely getting worse, and it's kind of, you know, you've got all your garden furniture and without putting people off their lunch, they're just pooping over everything.
Mm. We can certainly come round and assess the situation.
Bring your hawk or your red tail.
And see what we can do, yeah.
So outside of that, you've got all of these birds of prey, mm-hmm. Which you use to scare away seagulls and pigeons and other pests.
Yep.
Do you do anything else with them?
With the birds, yeah. We do a lot of events.
Right.
Sometimes we do a lot of shows for fates and fairs.
Yeah.
We get asked along. We support a local falconry centre that's trying to reopen in Birchington. We help them along and we bring some of our birds in just to boost the numbers for him.
Hmm.
So yeah, we do things like that. We used to do a lot of children's parties.
Yeah.
We don't do that so much now. It's mainly pest control because that's just taken over our lives really.
Right. Okay.
It's quite intense. So I have to keep all the birds flying every day. And every bird that we have has to fly, has to be kept fit because they could be called upon at any moment for a job. So that's mainly what we use the birds for at the moment.
Okay.
We do events every so often as well because it's good for the birds.
Yeah.
Because we're able to actually get them into situations where they're not normally comfortable.
Mm.
So it helps build up their confidence, helps them cope with different people around.
Is that having large numbers of people around them?
Yeah. A lot of falconers would probably frown upon it. But it's an old trick of training. Accipiters, which are goshawks and sparrowhawks, of throwing them in the deep end and letting them cope.
Right.
And if you take their ability to be able to get away from that situation, away from them, by holding them on a glove and showing them to people, they might be a bit scared at first.
Mm.
But after about 5-10 minutes, they start calming down and they realize they're not going to be eaten or hurt.
Right.
You can feed them, which is positive reinforcement. Mm. And they start coming around to this idea of being around these people that they wouldn't normally do in the wild. And then we can introduce them to other things like dogs and cars and tractors and bikes and things like that, things that would really, really scare them.
Mm.
And eventually, by the end of all of that, you've got a bird that just sits there and goes, oh, well, yeah, been there, done that, bought the T-shirt.
Mm.
Yeah, it's not going to hurt me. And you have a bird that you can take into an environment where, again, I go back to South Eastern Railway, where the trains were coming in and out of the workshops. Large cranes and noises and alarms were going off. And my birds were sitting on top of the train riding them in and out. They weren't bothered at all.
Right.
And the same, we do a local waste company, and they ride the rubbish lorries in and around the circuit and then come back down to me when I call them and they're ready.
Right.
So you've got birds that are bomb-proof. An ideal for the working environment. So they're working birds.
Cool. And we're kind of running out of time, but a fascinating subject. Are all of the birds you use, are they all native to the UK?
Most of them that we do are. I do try to stick to native birds because that's what the quarry expects to see. So the fear element is raised.
Mm.
But we do use some of the American birds. There's some Asian birds there we've got as well. Certainly the Harris hawks you find in the States, and they're very intelligent. They work in groups as well. One of the only birds of prey that do, so they work in family groups.
Right.
So you can take a whole bunch and fly them all at the same time,
okay.
Which looks quite impressive.
And that's Harris hawks, yeah.
They're Harris's hawks, yeah. Yep. With this whole mixture, but we do try to stick to British birds, which are all legally acquired. You have to buy them from breeders that are registered with DEFRA. All the birds have to come with a closed ring and correct paperwork. To be able to use them for commercial use.
Right.
We do try to stick to the British ones, but some of the Americans are slightly better at certain jobs.
Right.
Okay. I didn't say that out loud. But
they're going to start protesting soon, aren't they? Coming over here, nicking our jobs.
Yeah.
They're our seagulls, mate, and we're going to beat them up. Cool. A fascinating subject. We could talk about it forever. Sadly, we're running out of time. If people want to find out more about Sky Raiders, how can they do that?
You can email us at inquiries@skyraiders.co.uk or just visit the website www.skyraiders.co.uk, and there's loads of social links and blogs and all sorts on there.
Fantastic. And those links are on the Kent Business Radio website as well. Mm. Pete and Dan, thank you so much for that. A fascinating insight into scaring seagulls.
Thank you.
Really interesting, guys. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
Do stay with us for the remaining few minutes of the show.
I definitely need to get them round to sort my pigeons out, so I'll talk to you afterwards.
Okay.
We have a Chamber Business Awards coming up. It's now launched. Is your business doing well, they ask? Are you proud of what you've achieved? Why not shout about it and try for a well-deserved award? You can go on to kentinvictachamber.co.uk/chamber-business-awards2017, and you can be entering the Kent Invicta Chambers Awards. Nice one there.
While we're doing awards, I might as well do all of them because it's awards season at the moment.
I know.
And we've got quite a few coming up. So
last day to vote for Taste of Kent Awards.
Today.
So for your favourite eatery or food business, Taste of Kent Awards.
Cool. It's also time to make a nomination for the 2017 Kent Women in Business Awards. Now in its fifth year, these awards have become an exciting event on the business calendar in Kent.
Especially for you.
Especially for me. Your nominee will... I get to present the prizes. Me and 400 lovely ladies.
Yes.
Your nominee will be contacted within 7 working days to be informed of their nomination. And the celebration will take place on the 3rd of March at the Great Danes Hotel near Maidstone. If you'd like to nominate someone, or indeed nominate yourself, which is perfectly allowable, if you go to the website, which is Quib Awards, KWIBAwards.co.uk/nominations. And also, for the second year, the Kent Creative Awards, in association with Ashford School, have been generating interest across Kent from creative professionals. The high level of participation during the first event last year and the quality of the submitted work and the positive impact it had on those involved convinced the organisers at Kent Creative to repeat the experience this year. The next Kent Creative Awards ceremony will take place on the 19th of May. And submissions are now open and can be made on the website. And the deadline for submissions is the 24th of January. And to submit for the Kent Creative Awards, if you go to kentcreativearts.co.uk/Kent Creative Awards. So the website is kentcreativearts.co.uk/Kent Creative Awards to nominate yourself or someone else for a Kent Creative Award. Jules?
We've had a Gemma, the lovely Gemma Fairhay, says that she has, would we tell the lovely Business Bunker listeners about this workshop she has? It's for employers and managers with perfect staff and a great team, as well as also those whose staff are, well, she says, less than perfect. Absence, misconduct and capability cost businesses thousands of pounds each year, and they have an impact on other staff within a team. Failing to deal with these issues is not uncommon, she says, and sadly, dealing with these issues in the wrong way can have serious consequences. This workshop will give managers the tools and skills to take back into the workplace. Delegates will learn about legal and practical solutions for staff absence, misconduct and capability. And there are also going to be case studies and workbooks and plenty of opportunity to ask questions. As ever, Orchard Employment Law will deliver this training in a way which will keep guests engaged. So this workshop's going to be at 9:30 a.m, end at 3 p.m. on Tuesday, the 24th of January. It's at the St George Hotel, New Road, Chatham. It includes lunch for £149 a person. You can find more on Gemma's Twitter, which is Gemma Fairhay, F-A-I-R-H-A-Y. You can also email her at info@orchardemploymentlaw.co.uk, and it will be on the Kent Business Radio website too.
Thank you. It's now that time when...
Channel Radio News Update.
It's that time when we bring you news from the Federation of Small Business. Here's an events roundup for the early part of this year. On the 18th of January, there's a Tenterton networking event at the Secret Pantry Tenterton, and that's from 6:30. There's an event on the 26th of January at the Old Fire Station Tunbridge. And there's an event on the 27th of January, which is the Skills 3030 Network, which will inspire the next generation of school leavers that's taking place at Lee Academy. On the 7th of February, there's a Women in Business brunch in Dartford. On the 8th of March, it's International Women's Day celebration. On the 5th of April, it's the Bank of England Roundtable. And on the 11th of May, it's the Kent Vision Live exhibition. All of those event details and booking links can be found on the Kent Business Radio website on the FSB tab. And there you will find all the links to all of those events where you can book your place, come along, find out all the details. So do check that out, Jules.
We've just said all of mine, but I'll do it in my own little way as well. Filing your tax return, this is an important one, leading up to the 31st of January. You've got the HM Revenue and Customs, HMRC, and they have a range of digital support available for customers completing their 2016 self-assessment tax returns. So don't put it off, they say. So details of this can be found on the gov.uk website.
Thank you. The FSB have said local spending transparency is needed, and they've called for more transparency over the way taxpayers' money is spent by things called local enterprise partnerships, LEPs. Following a report released by the Public's Account Committee, the PAC is pushing for clarity around devolution objectives in England, including for the government to review the accountability of LEPs. We now want to see the government insist that LEPs publish a register of business interests and fulfil their obligations to appoint a small business champion to their board, as was originally announced.
Breathe, Paul.
I think that was a bit of a telling off.
I think it was, yeah. Took umbrage. Lee students, ready to pass on your business advice? Could you inspire the next generation of entrepreneurs? Perhaps you've thought about hiring an apprentice, but you're not sure if young people have the skills you need for your business. This is the third FSB Skills 3030 event, which will give you the chance to forge strong links with a local school. Share your experience of running a business and meet potential young employees. While students take part in workshops, business owners can find out about the benefits of hiring an apprentice and the new Kent County Council Guild initiative. Both groups meet together for facilitated speed networking. Now, they're saying who should come? It could be business owners, business managers, employers, HR managers, recruitment company owners. And they say, if you care about nurturing and developing talent and building a strong, sustainable business, this event is for you. It will be held at the Lee Academy, Green Street, Green Road, in Dartford. And it's on Friday, the 27th of January of this year, 2017, from 9 to 1 p.m. And there is a sat-nav, which is D for dog, A for apple, 1, 1, Q for Quebec, E for egg. So that's the 27th of January at 9 a.m.
There's
1.
A free lunch as well.
Is there?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's worth going. That's not
and the whole thing is worth going to. It's a really good, it's a cracking day. Yeah. It's really good.
And it would just give you a little bit of perspective, wouldn't it? And let you meet the students as
it's,
well.
It's always an eye-opener, and the businesses that come are always deeply impressed with the quality of the students that they meet. It's very worthwhile coming, so I urge you to join us on that day. UK broadband is not up to speed.
No.
The government have announced extra funding to bring faster broadband to parts of the UK. It follows the release of Ofcom figures last week, showing nearly 500,000 businesses still cannot access super fast broadband.
It's
outrageous. Yeah. It's really outrageous. I get better broadband coverage in the jungle in Uganda than I do in the southeast of England. The FSB wants to ensure this funding reaches small firms. In a press release, we called on the government to step up and deliver a universal service obligation so that basic level of broadband can be accessed by all small businesses by the end of this parliament.
The guide to selling online or in homes, Paul Andrews, is out. If you sell goods and services online or in people's homes, you may have more responsibilities than those who sell over the counter and the high street. This warning is in a new guide, which is published by trading standards experts. It comes after a third of businesses reported that asking for cancellation fees has led to disputes with customers. You can find details on businesscompanion.info and, of course, on kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
We've also had a tweet from Andrew Knott, who's the FSB membership representative in Kent. And he said, Paul, could you please give a shout out for an evening with Ron Harris?
Oh,
Ron is the former captain of Chelsea Football Club.
Yeah.
And they've got an event, an evening with Chopper, on Saturday, the 18th of March, and it's at the clubhouse at Altera Park Stadium, which is in Stanley Gardens in Herne Bay. It's only 10 quid for the evening to get a ticket. And if you'd like to book a ticket, which includes a buffet.
Oh, well, we've had a lot of buffets included today.
You need to email HBFCA, that's Herne Bay Football Club SA, at outlook.com. And he says, you're a football fan and a Chelsea fan. Are you coming? As it happens, Andrew, I'm actually going to a match with Ron.
Are you playing?
No, I'm not playing. But I'm going to a match with Ron on the 22nd of January.
Notice how, listener, he didn't sound at all surprised that I asked if he was playing.
Sorry?
I said, you didn't sound at all surprised when I said, are you playing? You didn't bat an eyelid. No, I'm not playing.
Well, you know damn well I'm not playing.
You are quite a good footballer, right? I remember.
I was when I was still alive.
Once you were on the pitch. He was on the pitch once at a gig that we did, and there was no getting him off, and lunch was served. I had to drag him off the pitch. He was there. We were
smashing him in.
When was this... the man that you mentioned his name, when was he manager of Chelsea?
And when was he the captain? Did he play?
Yeah.
From the 1960s up till the 1980s.
Was he? Because I'm not really very much up on football, but I sort of know Bobby Charlton. And
he played in the same era.
Okay.
Yeah.
George Best, of course. There's
some fantastic film of Chopper and George playing in the same game.
And they had longer shorts in those
days.
They
certainly did. Mm. Yeah. Do get along. He's a fascinating character and is well worth 10 quid.
I bet, yeah.
To go along and hear some of his stories and to experience that. So
nice
I do
one,
highly
Andrew
recommend
Knott.
It. Yeah. Good stuff. We're kind of fast approaching the end of the show. So have you got anything else that you need to get out of the way?
I've read all mine diligently,
you?
Yes.
Okay.
Maureen's my witness.
I have actually got 58 more tweets. To read.
Well, there are a lot of Simon Chapman has popped up, I've noticed.
Yeah.
And HR Services has popped up again on the Twitter. Who else has come up? Who's this person? Oh, Supply My Beers. He's still saying about dry January. I don't know how he's going to cope.
Who, Martin?
Yeah.
Is he getting withdrawal symptoms?
He'll be all crotchety. When's he on next?
Oh, we've had a tweet from Alex Waterton of FKs.
Oh, yes.
Who says, Happy New Year to Vanilla Web and Jules on
and
the Business Bunker.
Yeah, and I thanked him for getting me out of a few scrapes.
Yeah, best wishes for 2017, he says.
He's lovely.
Cool. I've got this, the Muesli Mafia Networking.
Right. Yeah.
They've got a few events coming off, and they happen between 7:30 a.m. and 9:30, and it's breakfast, and... It's the next one is on the 25th of January at the Warren in Bromley, then on the 3rd of February at the Mercure Hotel in Maidstone, then on the 9th of February at the Ashford International Hotel in Ashford, and then the 23rd of February at the Royal House Hotel in Tunbridge Wells.
And I was just reading a tweet there from Wiser Wealthier, who says he hasn't met me yet. So it was Tom that was on your show.
Oh, yeah. Tom was his boss, was his boss.
Yes.
HR Services, Fiona Stevens, HR, the lovely Fiona, has said, have you seen the gift she sent of someone changing the sheets on their bed?
Yeah, yeah.
It's quite really good, isn't it? That is good.
I'm glad you said GIF. I always thought it was a GIF.
No, it's GIF.
It's GIF.
GIF is what you use to clean the bath.
Yeah, well, you don't, obviously.
No, I would not get a new bath, obviously.
A new bath.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
We also had a tweet from the lovely Kim Stevens of Caring Kent, who said she wanted the biggest, loudest shout out. On the Business Bunker.
Should we do one?
Yeah. Go on then.
What's her Twitter handle?
Care in Kent.
Right, 1, 2, 3.
Care in Kent! Thank you.
Oh, that was loud.
Sorry about that.
Now.
Yeah. But she asked, and she is a dedicated listener, and we do thank her for that.
Yes.
So there's a big shout out for that.
Anyone that can listen to this show really needs a shout out, I would think.
But I think we're kind of at the end of the show now, really.
Well, you know, it's time to slope back and get under the tree.
Mm.
My tree's all there, all twinkling away. I've got some sherry and some port and some lovely cheeses.
Oh, she's still on the booze. No wonder she don't want dry January or whatever it's called.
I've got some gorgeous blue cheese. Which,
have you?
Do you like
Kentish,
blue
I hope.
Of course. Mm. Yes.
But I'd just like to say a huge thank you to today's show sponsor, the Alternative Board, via Simon Chapman. Thank you so much for sponsoring today's show. It's much appreciated. I'd like to say a massive thank you to today's guests, the lovely Maureen Dickey.
Thank you. It was great fun. Thank you very much.
a purpose, life purpose coach. I think, is that a fair?
Yeah, I think that sums it up.
Life purpose coach.
Liked it so much, she's going to come back on.
Yeah.
Don't forget your workshop. When was it again? January?
January the 25th, Wednesday.
Cool.
At Ickham.
Yes. And a huge thank you to the Raptor Boys from Sky Raiders, Peter and Daniel.
Thank you. And their owls.
Yeah. Owls. Thank you so much for joining us on today's Business Bunk Show. It's been a pleasure to talk to all of you. Coming up later today on Channel Radio at 5 o'clock, we have the ladies' favourite in his stripy socks, Mr. Craig Avery, with his entertainment and celebrity interview show. That is followed... hold on a second. That is followed by...
Welcome all to the New Potatoes Show.
7 o'clock until 9 o'clock this evening, 18 tracks of hand-picked, new, up-and-coming and unsigned music bands and artists for your delection and pleasure, presented by Mr. Jamie Andrews on the New Potatoes Show. And then at 9 o'clock, we have our comedy and music show, I Was Lord Kitchener's Valet, which focuses on the hilarious year of 1967.
I wonder what happens.
It's an incredibly funny year, but in order to find out, you need to listen to
we
the
do.
Show.
Yeah. Yes.
I Was Lord Kitchener's Valet. That's on from 9 until 10 tonight. And, of course, as always on a Tuesday night, we round it out with...
It's Club Culture with Boy George.
One, two.
Cool drum beat at the squidgy bass, I give you Vanilla Ace, and it rhymes. That means I'm right on time. Welcome to Club Culture, where I control my very own dance universe. 1 hour or more of grooving delectables for your disco pleasure. I'm Boy George.
It's 1 hour of delectable, delicious dance music. It's Club Culture with Boy George on Channel Radio.
So, as always, on a Tuesday evening, we finish off at 10 o'clock with Mr. Boy George and the Club Culture Show. So, do stay tuned for the rest of the day to Channel Radio. But in the meantime, thank you so much for joining us on the first Business Bunker Show of 2017. It's been a pleasure to hear from you all. Sorry if we didn't get round to reading out your emails and tweets. We have rather a lot. We will try to catch up with them next week.
I'm amazed how much we had when you think it's only the 3rd of January.
Absolutely. People stumbling out of out of their induced comas over Christmas and the New Year.
Yeah.
So thank you for joining us. We'll be back with you next week for another Business Bunker Show. In the meantime, have a fabulous week and... wishing you all a healthy, happy and successful 2017. And we'll speak to you all again very, very soon.
Bye-bye.
Here on the Business Bunker Show.
We will.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.